The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It is a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. A lot going on, a lot to get to today. I'm Russell Smith. Trey Wallace is here. Bear is here. Parker Pewitt is here. The whole crew is locked and ready for action as we get down to it here. And wow, you start with some NBA Finals discussion, as it was a crazy night last night in Toronto. I was all prepared. I thought Kawhi Leonard was going to take it. Okay, they kick it out to Lowry in the corner. Here it comes, Toronto. The biggest moment in Toronto sports history since Joe Carter went yard off Wild Thing Mitch Williams to end the 1993 World Series in Sky Dome. And oh! No, we're going to game six.
It was tipped.
In Golden State, coming up here in a couple of days. And I'll say this, man. A lot of.
I thought Draymond swatted it, right?
He didn't swat it. He might have gotten a piece of it. It was not the kind of look you want there with the championship on the line. I hate it for Kevin Durant. I really do. But I'll say this, man. I gained a measure of respect for that dude last night.
What, that he may have cratered his career right before he didn't get traded?
I don't think he cratered his career. But even if he did, man, like, you got to – like, he
was
did
Kobe
not –
Kobe ever the same?
He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that, and he did it. And this is what we want out of our stars in professional sports, right? Show us that it matters to you. Show us that it ain't about the money, that it's not all just a money grab. Show us that winning – matters more than the money.
You're a sheep.
And he did that last night.
You're the kind of person that eats that stuff up, and it's the most ridiculous thing that guy ever did, was to allow himself to get pressured into playing. I'm glad you got your 15 minutes of feel good, Russ.
He didn't have to do it.
None. Shouldn't have.
Listen, you can hot take this all you want, and I realize it's sports radio in 2019, and we got to blame somebody, and we've got to point the finger.
No, I'm not blaming or pointing a finger.
I hope that he – listen – he did it in the most undeniable way possible.
He got pressured.
Nobody can ever. He's a grown man. If he did, that's his fault. Nobody can ever say he. You can say a lot of things about him. You can't say he doesn't care, which is what the label was on him for a number. Oh, he doesn't care about it. It's all about the money. He just took the payday from Golden State to go out there and win a championship and jump on the best team he possibly could. He bought a couple of rings. You can't say that anymore, man.
I never said it
before. Not about him.
It was such a – and now articles are starting to come out. And look, I think the most awkward situation of the night was Bob Myers after the game, the press conference, the GM of the Warriors, up there balling, just crying.
I mean, it's a sad deal, man.
But the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, you know what, we went through everything, you know, the doctors, the therapists and all that stuff. But he was out there trying to make the point, the narrative, before the injury came out. That's what I didn't like. When have you ever seen a GM?
Yeah, that was a little weird.
When have you ever seen a GM go up and talk about a player's injury? Like, they didn't talk about this beforehand, but now he goes up in there and states his case. Hey, we did anything and everything possible. We made sure he was clear. They didn't even release the injury yet. Why are you trying to get out ahead of this beforehand?
Well, and the other rap against KD is he's overly concerned with his image, with what people think about him. He's getting on Twitter under burner accounts and tweeting about himself. And, I'm KD. That rant he had earlier in the playoffs this year. To me, I'll just say it again, man. He earned a measure of respect, and I respected him beforehand. I mean, he's a terrific player, but he absolutely did not have to do that. I don't think his reputation would have changed. There might be some hot takers out there that said, oh, when his team needed him, where was he? But he still would have gotten the same deal he's going to get. He's still going to get another max deal, even with an Achilles injury, if that is indeed what happened to him. He's still going to get another max contract. He's still KD. If he misses a year, so what, man? He'll miss a year. Peyton missed a year. Brady missed a year. Eric Berry missed a year. Michael Jordan missed most of a year in early in his career. Paul George broke his leg and came back to – it happens. It's not cool. It sucks. But there are plenty of great athletes who have missed an entire season because of injury. They come back. He's young enough to come back. He'll come back. He's going to get paid probably by the Warriors or the Knicks.
He can flex his option. But wasn't this preventable, though, man? It was preventable.
How?
I mean,
they should have kept him on the shelf.
Right. I'm seeing some things come out now, and I'll get the exact author, but they're talking about, you know, that he wasn't 100% healthy in you know, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, here's the crazy part about last night, too. Steve Kerr is asked about, you know, the injury, then also asked about, you know, the clearance, should he have played all that? What did Steve Kerr do? Steve Kerr said, yeah, you're going to have to talk to Bob Myers about that. Why is Steve Kerr throwing off the blame and putting it on Bob Myers to say what's going on?
Probably because the decision was made above him.
Exactly.
I don't know.
There you
but,
go.
I mean, he looked good. He was dominating. He came out and was balling. What do you have, like 12 points in 10 minutes?
Yep.
I mean,
probably. See, part of it is they've been saying it's a calf strain. I've wondered all along. I mean, I'm no doctor, but it sounds like there are times when you can injure where your Achilles doesn't completely pop, and supposedly you can do a non-surgical route, but you cannot do anything on it.
Like a partial tear.
With that risking it, you know.
They said last night that he could not hurt it any more than he already had.
So they told him.
Come on.
I mean,
did they tell him before last night that, hey, as soon as the season's over, we're going to have to go in and repair your Achilles tendon. You might as well go ahead and play on it. It may pop. It may not pop. But you're going to have the surgery as soon
as the season's
over.
We don't know what his conversations were with the medical staff, and we'll never know because that's privileged information. But it's
– what I'm saying is if that's what they're saying the situation was, then I've got no problem with it. I mean, he tried to get as much out of it as he could, but
no, that's what
part of it's not a really good look for the Warriors, given a player of his stature.
No,
I don't see it that way.
I know,
I really don't. I mean, it's NBA Finals, man. How many times do you have a chance to win a championship? And they're down 3-1 again. He did not have to do that. I mean, the cards are stacked against them. Now he comes back. You're going down to Golden State for game six. I mean, it's I won't say a brand new series, but heck, man, they win at home, which is, you know, perfectly likely. Anything can happen in a one game winner take all scenario.
You know what the turning point in the game was last night?
The timeout by Nick
Nurse. There you go, my man. My man. Kawhi going off.
Listen, I saw his post game. I understand the reasoning. I really do. But dude, you're out thinking yourself, man.
Right.
You've got them on the ropes. This is a heavyweight fight. The champ is staggering, man. You've got him. You just busted him in the nose. He's seeing stars.
Kawhi banging.
You're
threes.
One more nice hook or uppercut away from putting him on the canvas. Go ahead and take the kill. Go for the kill shot, man. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. When you have your enemy, when you have your foot on his throat, finish him. They didn't do it, man. They took their foot off his throat and let him back into it. And if the Warriors end up coming back and winning this thing, boy, that's a tough one.
That's a heartbreaker.
Of all the what-ifs, wish I had that one to do over again. That's right up there, man.
Oops.
That is right up there because, they should have been drinking the champagne last night.
And they were up six. They were up six. Kawhi comes out, bangs two threes. All of a sudden, you see, you know, Steph misses one. Nick Nurse calls the timeout, and you're like, what the hell's going on? Why are you doing this? You just sucked the life out of
Brandon off of the Blitz had the best take of the day on it. Said it was very Konzo Martin-esque.
Yeah.
with the timing of it.
You know, people always give Konzo a crap about that. Coach K is the worst about it.
He's pretty bad. Konzo, it just seems like it always bites him, especially when he was at Tennessee. Like, he called timeout, the other team come down and sink a three-pointer to win the game. Didn't A&M do that to us, like, twice?
Yeah, Antoine Space.
Ooh, I remember that one.
He's
not well liked by Russ.
What are you doing, man? This is the NBA, dude. Like, this isn't college basketball. These are pros, man. This is Kawhi Leonard,
If
man.
They need a timeout, they'll call a timeout. The players will.
Yeah, you've got the champs on their heels. It was so awkward. Like, I didn't even realize that it was Toronto that had called the timeout until, like, after the commercial break, like, minutes later when I saw people saying, why did he call that timeout? I just assumed that it was the Warriors, because why would Toronto call a timeout in that situation?
The announcers could tell the same thing. They were wondering the same thing. They were asking who called the timeout.
Of course Golden State called it. Why would Toronto call it? That would be the dumbest thing ever. Yes, it was the dumbest thing ever. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll keep has there been any update on KD? I know he's going to have an MRI.
He's going to New York.
MRI. Thing's blown. Didn't they come out and say that his Achilles?
They said they think it is. They're going to have an MRI.
He had that MRI done last night after the game somewhere in Toronto.
It's fairly easy to tell. I mean, that's one that, like, even I wouldn't know how to fix it or what to tell you to do with it, but look at somebody and be like, yeah, your Achilles tendon's rolled up in your leg there, buddy.
That's weird, man. I mean, this is the danger of playing Twitter doctor, but, like, when you see he had a calf injury, that's what the Warriors were saying the past couple of months, and then you see the slow-mo of his, like, calf popping, and you're like, oh, he re-injured his calf because that's clearly his calf, and like, you think, okay, well, he's done for the series, but he'll be back next year. He's going to sign his deal or whatever. And then afterwards, you find out Achilles. Like, that's not even what it looked like. It's really strange. So,
hopefully. Now he's got a year he can exercise for $31 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And just stay out. So, he can get paid $31 million to rehab with the Warriors and rehab out there.
Got a player option. Or what could happen is they could turn around and say, let's negotiate this thing. You have to sit out a year. We'll pay for
Can they do that now? Can they take the heat?
I don't think they can.
If they come off looking cheapskate after this guy just blew out his Achilles tendon trying
to win a ring. No, that's a good point. That's a good point, man.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
You saw the GM up there crying his eyes out.
Yeah, I bet he is.
You saw the players crying. Hey, here's another thing that's interesting in this. Ever since he's been there, it's been like, I don't want to say that he's not part of the boys, part of the team, but
he ain't part of the boys.
That's Draymond's team. That's the Splash Brothers team. That's Steve Kerr's team. They just rented Kevin Durant, bought him to kind of like use as a cheat code to increase their dominance for a couple of years.
Nice.
Well, they wanted to make sure.
Until last night, like I thought it was very genuine, the display of emotion from the GM, from Steph and Clay and
certainly
DeMarcus Bogey. Cousins and all the other players that were like, I don't want to overemphasize it, but you know, don't want to go with the last night Kevin Durant truly become a Warrior, you know, take, but it did feel like he was genuinely accepted by those guys in a way that he publicly has not been to this point. In case in point, the story that leaked out from The Athletic earlier this week about maybe there's some rumblings in the locker room of Warriors, either players or Warriors brass, that were like, he needs to be out there. Well, he was out there, and you better not ever call him soft again or question his heart or his commitment or his desire again, because he literally laid it on the line for you last night. And
I feel like they are backed into a corner when it comes to that option year.
Myers has now screwed up two things, Rick Barnes and Kevin Durant.
I mean, you just can't. If he decides that's the option, he wants to go with $31 million, get a surgery, rehab, and then sign a max contract a year from now.
I find this all to be very – last night did not it's just a weird look, just all of it overall, the coverage of when he goes down, to them watching him leave, to going back, and then the Steve Kerr press conference. You got players crying on air. God love them. Crying on air because their teammate goes down. And then Bob Myers is up there. It just, man, something smells stinky about this whole situation.
Speaking of something smells stinky, we are watching the Women's World Cup. Team America already up 1-0 on Thailand.
Whoop, whoop.
I saw where the last time I think these two teams played, America won, I believe, 9-0, 7-0, something like that. So what do we think the score is going to be here in a World Cup game? I'm going to go ahead and set the over-under 7.5 goals for the U.S. Women's National Team today.
It's Thailand today?
Thailand, yes.
I'll go Thailand. I would say 3.
Can we do something about, because this pixelating thing is going to,
We got to find the bunny ears and adjust them.
I can't deal with this.
It's funny because it's the opposite of technology. Usually, you know, you get a couple of people together and it's like, oh man, how do I work the Roku? How do I work the YouTube TV? This, it's a Fox broadcast, so we actually are watching on broadcast TV, and the four of us cannot figure out how to correctly work what should be a pretty easy thing to do.
Where's the antenna?
I don't know. Where is it?
I don't know.
It's on the back of this thing.
Use antennas?
I don't know. There's an HD antenna that goes with that TV.
Right, hold on.
You got to move it around.
Oh, wow, we're getting some live work on air. Oh, you're twiddling it the right way.
Hold on, wait a minute.
There you go.
There's no signal now.
It's working out right. Some live play-by-play here. Look, this is important time now.
I got this.
This is the Women's World Cup.
It's coming. Here we go. Oh, no, wait.
You sound like Michael Scott. This is live TV.
Wrap this thing around.
You want me to call one of the other guys in here?
Here we go.
This is live radio. There you go. So you're just going to stand right there, and we're going to give you the mic, and you're just going to discuss this the whole day. There you go.
We'll worry about the commercial break.
Good job, Russ. My man. I'm proud of him.
Child of the 80s, man. I know how to move those rabbit ears, the TV antenna around. I was grew up on 3 channels. That's all we had back in the day. And we had to walk to school through 10 miles of snow in the pouring rain with no shoes. You young whippersnappers.
You used the illegal cable box growing up, didn't you?
1-0. Team America. Get some of this, Thailand. Get some of this. World's Women Cup action. Coming at you on Fan Run Radio.
Hope Solo in the house.
Are you not entertained?
No.
Dang it. Bear.
Stay with us. The drive continues. New caller development program is open. 865-546-8200. If you are a new caller, just let Bear know. We'll move you to the front of the line. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the drive. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Buzz and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
Well, tack on another one for Team America.
Golazo.
Woo! America. Is that number 3? Here it comes. Oh, no. What do you say three goals? I just told you, Trey, we beat this team 9-0 the last time we played them in a meaningful match, and you said 3-0. They're going to have 5 goals by halftime.
What a beautiful rocket.
Are they playing a goalie? Oh, there she is.
Not much of a goalie. Are they playing a goalie?
I don't know if they pulled the goalie or something.
It's 2-0 in the 21st minute.
It's going to be a hot minute.
Where is this? I know it's in France.
Somewhere in France.
En français. Probably. S'il vous plaît. All right. Back here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville, a little Fan Run Radio coming at you here this afternoon. Coming up, I'm going to talk a little SEC football. Everybody knows Tua Tagovailoa is the cream of the crop when it comes to returning players certainly returning quarterbacks in the SEC. Looks already to be a Tua versus Trevor Lawrence race for the Heisman Trophy shaping up very early. Already would be shocked if – would you take Tua and Lawrence versus the field right now, everybody, if in the Heisman race for 2019?
I think unless Lawrence takes a step – I don't see how Tua catches him. I think Lawrence is a whole nother level above Tua.
I mean, I could see it being interesting. Tua might put up better numbers just because Bama beats people more decisively than Clemson does. But head-to-head, there's no doubt – I mean, we all saw the game last year, right?
Then Saban will play Tua till the, you know, will he? I wonder if he will this year after he got hurt last year. And it really killed him in that championship game because he wasn't full speed. But when these games get out of hand, is he finally going to start pulling Tua out of the game?
Well, now you've got two quarterbacks that are completely different type of quarterbacks than Tua. You got Mac Jones back there that could throw that ball around. And then you've got Bear Bryant's
Talia.
Yeah, you got Talia, but then there was one more.
Another legacy down there.
Yeah, they got
remember
Bear
when
Bryant,
Tua
Jay
got
Barker
hurt for like a minute at LSU last year, and it was like freaking like, who is this guy? They're bringing some white dude off the bench for a couple of plays.
That was Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones.
That sounds
Max
like
Addy.
An Alabama quarterback.
But I mean,
absolutely.
Trevor Lawrence is a chosen one.
I would agree with that. Yes. I
mean, he's a franchise.
And the guy, I mean, we're going to watch Trevor for two more years, God willing.
Yep. All right, let's go to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk real quick here. It's a final now. Victor Bailey has signed with the Tennessee basketball program. We talked about this yesterday in trying to figure out where the space is going to come for Kerry Blackshear or Josephat Bilal. And we were wondering, you know, it's interesting. We heard that Victor Bailey, it's been what, over a week?
Yep.
Yeah.
Since he committed on Twitter to Tennessee, and yet no official release from the Tennessee basketball program. Well, as of 15 minutes ago, that became official. Victor Bailey is signed, sealed, and delivered to Tennessee.
He has signed his institutional aid agreement with UT and plans to enroll for the second session of summer school.
Who's leaving?
Well, back to the drawing board on that one, I guess.
Are we over now?
What if Blackshear really likes his time in Knoxville on Saturday?
Somebody will get, I guarantee you.
I mean, you find a way to make it work. I think that if you're, could one of the in-state guys possibly get a Hope scholarship and the family help pay their way a little bit? I don't even know. Like, Pember is already here. He's already on campus.
Yeah.
So is Josiah James. Obviously, you're not going to do anything there.
You're not playing with his.
But, you know, could one of those guys withdraw from school and sit out a year? Could they go to a prep school? I don't know what the rules are for that.
I mean, could Pember, since he's – it'd be in. I mean, he's in state, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Could Pember just not come off scholarship?
They could maybe put him on scholarship come like December.
I don't see anything wrong with my plan yesterday.
Huh? You're gracious, but I mean, the problem doesn't change. You've still got one more player than you've got room for. Somebody has to come off scholarship for the entire season.
You go with Phil's
Bailey's going to enroll. I think that oh man, now it gets interesting because look, let's be realistic. Who would potentially leave? And I think Rick's got the numbers figured out. He also knows if he can get Blackshear to somehow commit the next 3 weeks, he'll figure out the numbers. But Jalen Johnson ain't leaving. You know,
I don't like to speculate on who might get a right, quote unquote yeah. get shirt because kids, you know, kids listen to this and show and everything. So
especially this late.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously, Barnes has a plan. He's bringing Blackshear in. He's not going to be caught off guard if Blackshear wants in. All of a sudden, oh wow, I'd really like to take this great player, but I don't have like he knows what he's going to do, and he's not going to make that public. So. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but Victor Bailey officially in the fold for Tennessee.
I mean, he's going to sit out. He's sitting out, and Tennessee's full right now. Tennessee's full in scholarships. So something's got to give here if they're still looking for one more. So, you know, and maybe they think this thing's done with, you know, maybe they're just hosting Blackshear. You know what I mean? I don't know. Think they
just
have
hosting him?
They
what, to like hang out? No, they're recruiting him.
I'm talking about right now hosting him, figure out that situation when it comes to. If he decides to come, they'll figure it out at the time.
No, they have a plan. They know what they would do. If he tells them this weekend, I want in, Rick Barnes knows exactly what he's going to do to make that happen.
He'll tell them to sign immediately.
Yeah, which I think is, you know, it's smart. Look, he might go to Kentucky. You might not get Bilal. You might have to do with what, and in that case, you keep everybody on the roster. But if one of those guys wants in and you want to take them, obviously you do with Blackshear. I think you do with Bilal. We don't know for sure. Somebody is going to be out, odd man out, whether that's you're just not on scholarship this year or you are transferring. One of that's going to be the deal if one of these guys wants in.
Rick Barnes will go over and ask Jeremy, hey, Jeremy, can you use one of them scholarships for a little bit?
Yeah, and Jeremy will be like, no. Well, coach, why don't you just take your little raggedy rear end back across the street over there, your basketball, get on over there. Thank you, Bear. Want a little free bird this afternoon and just go on and coach your team and keep your lousy, stinky UCLA money-grabbing hands off my scholarships. All right? That's about how that conversation would go.
But, Rick, Coach Pruitt, you know, we really need this. It's for the Lord. Help us do the Lord's
yeah,
work.
No.
Well, Rick, I went to church last night, got Wednesday night service coming up tomorrow. We're all good with the Jesus. We're all stocked up here, got my Bible, took my team to Sunday school, and we're keeping the scholarship. All right. You can't do that anyway. Like, if you have a player, like, because people have asked before, well, could football get a player like and put him on a baseball scholarship or something, which, first of all, you can't do because not all players are on the baseball scholarships, are divvied up. But, like, the NCAA rule is you have to have a main sport. And whatever that sport is, you have to be on scholarship for that sport.
That happened with South Carolina a couple years ago with their point guard.
Bruce Ellington?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was on basketball scholarship, right?
He was on basketball scholarship, but played football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting things going on over there, maybe.
865-546-8200.
Get one of them gray shirts, Coach Pruitt.
Your number to get on the show. Bear will greet you as you call in this afternoon. Coming up, we have Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports, college football NASCAR reporter, going to join us in hour number two. I will permit... I'm going to tell you two right now. One NASCAR question.
That's it.
One minute of NASCAR talk. That's all you get.
I don't even need it.
I know when I'm not here, it's just a free-for-all. You guys
I'm
do
done.
Like no, whatever you do.
True. No, I shut it down.
He is done. He's done with NASCAR. He's a Formula One guy now, and that's okay.
They ruined the sport.
They've ruined the sport for him. You know, his buddy won yesterday. Congratulations to him. That is a goal for the United States of America. Golazo!
You want to update your prediction now?
No, sticking with three.
You're sticking with three. You think good. They're done 30 minutes in the game? You think we're going to just play an hour more of America against Thailand with no more goals?
I'm good.
I set the over under 7.5. What do you think, Parker? Seven? You're taking the under? I'm taking the over. I think we get at least 8.
That was just a lackadaisical.
Hey, look at these guys. Look at the goalie. She was scared of the ball. Look at the goalie. She jumped out of the way like a child afraid she was going to get hit. Look, she just – watch. Oh, don't hurt me.
The ball just sat there for 3 seconds. Unbelievable. I'm sticking with three.
This is the pinnacle of international football right here, what we're watching.
USA is about to open up a big can of whoop-ass on everybody in this world, aren't they?
like in the world or in the World Cup? You're not predicting a World War III, are you?
No, I would hope not. No.
That's what I'm afraid of.
I think we're good on that part, bud.
Putin and the Iranians team up with China in between. Yeah, like ISIS to do a run in, and it's just the Western world against all our enemies.
We just get Great Britain.
Hey, I just saw something. Is this for real?
Oh, gosh.
Did Dabo Swinney refer to himself as Osama bin Dabo?
Yes.
He did. Are you triggered?
No, I just think he's a dip blank.
The people like try to make a big deal out of that.
Yeah, it's.
We can joke about it, but he can't because he's the Clemson football coach. People are so sensitive, man. He make a joke. He's not like, it's a joke. I mean, last I heard from Bin Laden, he was fish food. We gave him a third eye right between his two eyes. Put a couple of bullets in him.
I think they put three up there.
Threw him in a sack with some weights, and now he sleeps with the fishes.
So the prayer over, over the side he went. Like, I mean, that's what happened.
We can't joke about him anymore.
Dang.
Can we? I joke about anything. Like, I'm not. I saw some people on Twitter between trying to get outraged about Kevin Durant and outraged about Dabo. I mean, it was about the perpetual Twitter conflictinator was pretty obnoxious last night. I thought it was funny. I'm
Bobby
glad.
Burak, who is this? Have you ever heard of this guy, Trey? He's pretty fired up about it.
Which one was it? I'm sorry.
He's with the big lead. Bobby.
Oh, he's with the big lead.
Burak.
Okay.
Burak.
What'd he say?
Oh, okay.
You can't joke about that. He killed 3,000 people. My buddy's died face down in the mud in Afghanistan fighting that dude. Yeah, and we killed him.
America. How about... Man, I hate to even talk about this loser. How about the judge? I mean, not the judge, the jury declaring a mistrial. Kellen Winslow's like seven other counts.
Oh, but they got him on enough to put him away, right?
He got found guilty of the top count. He's never getting out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be like an 8-year type thing they were talking about.
8 years?
He could have gone to jail for life.
No. If they got him on the top count, the sentencing guidelines for aggravated rape are life in prison.
Okay. I was just going off what L. Wetzel was talking about yesterday, how that jury was absolutely, they didn't know what under oath meant.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, they had a, can you please explain what you mean by guilty or not guilty? It's like, really?
No. It's
where did they get this jury?
Yeah. Jeff Eisenberg is reporting this from Sports Yahoo along with Dan Wetzel. Winslow will serve a maximum of 9 years in prison.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
What about all the other stuff
there
they know?
There remains the possibility of a retrial on those remaining counts, but highly doubt that they would do it because they got one count.
Yeah, but that's not the only thing that he's gotten into.
Yeah, but they
see, where are you seeing that? Because I'm looking at FoxNews.com, and they're saying this could send him to prison for the rest of his life.
Right there.
Yeah, he's found guilty of rape, man.
Along with Dan Wetzel.
Well, I mean, whatever. Obviously, this dude's got a screw loose. And it's, I think it goes beyond just being a mean SOB. Like, he's got serious mental issues. He raped a 70-year-old homeless woman. A 77-year-old. I mean, this dude is nuts, right? I mean, he's got serious mental health issues. So... And I'm not saying that it's all right or he shouldn't go to prison or anything. He obviously should. But this is more than just a case of, some just really mean dude who raped somebody and is going to get out of prison early. Like, you worry for, anybody that comes in contact with that guy. Yeah.
The legal analyst, Philip Holloway, said, I think when a defendant is facing spending the rest of his life in prison – and the most he's looking at now is 9 years. It's fair for the defense to clear that a victory.
Yeah.
He can be retried. But the jury said they were hopelessly locked. Deadlocked.
Coming up on the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. Other than Tua Tagovailoa, who do you expect to be the best returning quarterback in the SEC? Looking through the list, it's
the most improved or the best?
The best. It's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting list because there are some pretty good players in there. There's some all right players in there, and there's some who is that type players on this list. We'll roll through it when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Your phone calls coming up as well, 865-546-8200. Back with more right after this.
The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Other than Tua Tagovailoa, who is the best returning quarterback in the SEC? I trust you've all had a chance to read your Athlons, your Lindy's. You're familiar with what the rest of the league has coming back. Some interesting names on this list. Trey, what say you?
I say you look at, Joe Burrow, Jake Fromm.
All right, just give me one. Don't go
you
down
want,
the list.
You want just
still,
the one yeah, get, straight
who, who's
up.
The, who's the best behind Tua?
Kelly Bryant.
Good answer.
Kelly Bryant, Missouri.
Good answer. I think he's going to have a big impact playing for the Derek Dooley-led offense. Bear, best quarterback other than Tua returning in the SEC.
Whoever's playing second string in Alabama.
That's good. That's good. It's got to be Fromm, right?
Probably, but I really don't think he's like
an
as
SEC.
Good as ever.
Two Eastern Division championships, a conference championship, a playoff appearance already under his belt. Like,
why not?
Am I missing something?
No, you're pretty spot on, bud.
He was surrounded by, Ferrari running backs and Mack truck linemen his
That's
entire
true.
Career.
Oh, yeah, you put Fromm and Kelly Bryant, Fromm on Missouri.
Probably not much difference.
Probably the same players,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is a good question here. If you threw Tua on Tennessee squad and you put Jerry Garantano with Alabama, how good of a quarterback would Jarrett Garantano
I think he would
be
very, very good.
Alabama would win 10 or 11. I don't know that he could get to 12.
With Jarrett Garantano as quarterback?
I mean, who knows? Because, it would be probably refreshing to him, and he'd probably be able to lift his arms over his head after September.
It would be weird for him, right? I mean, he would drop back, just tried to get rid of it. The coach would be like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah,
he has like two
seconds.
Extra seconds.
Come out there, Jarrett, look here. You don't have to throw the ball as soon as it gets in your hands anymore.
You're in a safe space, Jarrett. It's okay. Here, let me give you a hug, buddy.
That's pretty damn bad. I mean, he's played behind a line that could quite possibly have given the kid PTSD. I've never seen too many Tennessee quarterbacks take as much punishment as this kid has.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen a quarterback take as big a damage as last year.
The ultimate was the older Carr when Houston first drafted him. They beat the hell out of him.
That's David, right?
Yeah.
David Carr.
Tennessee.
He got sacked like 56 times.
Yeah.
The worst, the second worst beating to what Garantano took last year, I don't think there's a close second.
Mm-mm. I mean, now Josh Jobs took some ferocious beatings just because he gave everything he had and laid it all out there.
And he was a running QB.
Yeah.
So he's naturally going to take more hits.
Would this be the worst offensive line that Tennessee's had last year?
In my lifetime, this is the worst stretch of. Ever since I was first started watching football, there were Tennessee linemen throughout the NFL. They were considered.
I guess kind of what I'm getting at, Bear and Russ, is if you threw another big time quarterback from the SEC on Tennessee's roster, it doesn't have to be Tua. You throw a Fromm, I'm not going to say Felipe Franks, but
we'd have tons of people calling in telling us how garbage he is.
It would be like that.
Yeah.
You think it would be
I agree. And that's kind of people accuse me of being a Garantano apologist.
I'm not. We're just realists.
Yeah. I'm not sitting here saying that he's going to get drafted, that he's going to come out early, that he's, but what I'm saying is we don't really know because he hasn't gotten a chance to really play yet. anything that happened last year, I just put an asterisk next to, because he was playing behind that offensive line and he didn't have many weapons around him. And let's be honest, Tyson Helton and Jeremy Pruitt were learning on the job. They were in over their heads a little bit.
Well, I mean, not only learning on the job, obviously weren't getting along.
The 2009, the Kiffin year,
yeah,
we started two walk-ons, the Sullins twins. They weighed about 270 pounds on offensive line. And that offensive line wasn't much better, but James Craig was the coach, a very good offensive line coach. Lane Kiffin was calling the plays for the most part, and Jim Chaney was on that team as well. And they were able to scheme things around the quick throw game. They had Hardesty, obviously, to pitch the ball to. They were able to work around that a lot better than Tyson Helton was able to work around our shortcomings last year. And I think the Chaney effect is going to be noticeable from day one, because I don't think he's going to let, even if our offensive line isn't any better, and I think it will be better.
He knows enough to where he can scheme around.
He'll scheme around it and do things. He's not going to let Garantano, who, by the way, was playing after the Florida game, was playing on two sprained MCLs
last year for most of the year.
I was surprised that he even played at all.
He's not. Jim Chaney's not going to let that happen to him again, man. He's not going to let him take those kinds of shots.
No.
So you think, okay.
And I'm not saying that they're going to be drastically better. They're going to be better. I mean, they're not going to be 120th in the country in total offense or whatever they were last year. They're going to be, I'm not saying they're going to be top 25, but maybe up in the top 60 or so at worst.
And I would expect that.
Yeah, I think they're going to protect him a lot better.
I do think, I mean, if we have two freshmen starting at tackles, I do think there's going to be, you know, there's going to be some plays where they just get completely bamboozled, and I mean, he's going to get hit. I don't expect it to be like we're holding our breath every time we snapped the ball last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the ball barely touched his hands in that Florida game. The first one where he threw the interception.
I just don't think it's going to be any worse.
Never, God, you keep saying that year after year. Yeah, I've been on the show. That.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Shouldn't say that.
I look at the situation around the SEC, and I have to wonder, you know, with Tennessee's case, man, you don't see offensive lines this bad at many of the other conference schools. I mean, Kentucky, I would say probably, yeah, because Wilson got drilled around last year at times.
We had two head coaches in 8 years of not knowing how to recruit offensive. Right. I mean, Dooley didn't recruit an offensive lineman for a whole cycle. And we talked about it yesterday. I mean, Butch took on 260-pound projects. You know, and he was dumb and didn't realize that he had – you know, I mean, when Khalil McKenzie got here, when Khalil McKenzie walked onto campus, he should have immediately been moved to the offensive line. That's where he projected as a pro the whole time.
I'm really interested. How many schools could Garantano go to and win 10 games at next year?
I think the point, I believe we made this point last year. If you put Garantano on Alabama, no, he's not going to be putting up Tua numbers because Tua's special, but they're still going to be.
He could put up good enough numbers like some of those other jokers that won national championships.
Alabama was not challenged in the regular season. Hmm. They're challenged in the SEC championship and their two playoff games. But go back and look. What was their closest game in the regular season? It might have been LSU 24-0.
Yeah.
They weren't challenged. They wouldn't, and Garantano would have been able. You turn and hand the ball to Josh Jacobs or Najee Harris. You pitch it out there to Jerry Jeudy and let him do his thing. Like,
you probably still get your ass kicked in the national championship game, like, because that really hurt them against Clemson.
No, but the reason why I ask is I'd really like to see how either good of a quarterback Jerry Garantano is behind an offensive line that works.
Well, I mean, when he came out, when he came out of high school, if you go back and look at that class, there's some really funny names in that list, and he was ranked ahead of them.
I don't take much off high school.
You might see it, Trey. You might see if he comes back for his senior year. Keep in mind, he's only a rising junior. He redshirted. He's got two more years. Yep. If he comes back for his fifth year, you would think that in 2020, our offensive line is going to be pretty good, right?
Well, yeah, because by that time, Wanye and Darnell will have had.
Those guys will be sophomores. Jerome Carvin will be set. You're going to have Jameer Johnson probably.
That's the kid I like.
By his, I don't know who you like. You're probably going to be set at that point. You've got the other guys who are going to be freshmen, McBride, Okporigini, Lampley. You're probably bringing in a stud or two next year. So, like, you're going to have some options back there.
We'll have a proper SEC rotation at that point.
And who knows? Garantano is a fifth-year senior playing in the league, the second year under Jim Chaney. Maybe he looks pretty good.
Good things could happen. You get an offensive line built up, you're just fine.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State. They are online at rickardridgebbq.com. They are located in Cove Lake State Park. What a beautiful day to take the quick drive up I-75 to Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Check out the ribs. Check out the mouth-watering, delicious smoked chicken thighs fall off the bone, the steaks, the salads, the sandwiches. It's all so delicious at Rickard Ridge. Other than Tua, who's the best returning quarterback in the SEC? 65% of the audience going with Fromm. 10% saying Kelly Bryant, 8% going Kellen Mond. We got 70% going with right ends. And interestingly enough, Jarrett Guarantano has a couple of votes. Felipe Franks has a vote.
That must be Felipe's dad.
Perhaps. And
he's got a cannon.
Hell yeah, he's got a cannon.
You know, it's interesting. Nobody said. Jake Bentley down at South Carolina.
God, he said 3 years, though.
You put him on that Alabama team.
Is the kid from Vanderbilt gone?
Yeah. Yeah, Kyle Shermer.
Yeah, Mike Shermer's nephew.
He was a good quarterback.
Put. Forgot his name. We were just talking about him. Bentley. Jake Bentley. Put him on Alabama. I guarantee you, man. Everything they said about A.J. McCarron, they'd be saying about Bentley.
Yeah.
He's just as good as McCarron, don't you think?
When you look at Tennessee's offense and what Jim Chaney's trying to do, and this is probably a discussion for longer of a period, is it better to have a dual-threat mobile quarterback with Jim Chaney, or is it better to have just sit back in the pocket? Because the pro-style offense has changed so much over the last, you know, 5-6 years.
His quarterbacks usually are guys that will they run to get receivers open. They're still – that seems to be his MO over the years.
I mean, Fromm is – Fromm could run it a little bit. Peterman could run a little bit. Crompton wasn't flat-footed. But generally, he goes with the –
Breeze.
Quarterback, or a pocket quarterback. You know, generally he wants somebody who's going to sit there. And I talked with him about this back in 2009 when he was here. I interviewed him and asked him, and he said the first thing he looks at, above all else, above size, hand speed, athletic ability, foot quickness, even mental acuity, yep, is accuracy.
Okay.
And he said, does the ball go where the quarterback wants it to go? That's the first thing. Is he accurate? And, like, it's like Nick Nurse yesterday up in Toronto. You outthink yourself. Sometimes you think, oh, well, does he have prototypical size? How big are his hands? Can he drop back and read a defense? Okay, none of that matters if he's throwing to the goalpost and it ends up in the, fifth row. Like, it's – does the ball go where he wants it to go? Is he accurate? You know, that's the deal at the end of the day when you're throwing a football. So
good for Tennessee this year. They're going to have receivers that can go track down these balls.
Well, it also makes me wonder, Haynes King.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is the guy Chaney wants. Is he worried about Bailey's accuracy? Is he just in love with Haynes King? Is it a little bit of both? Or does he just really want two very good quarterbacks and let the best man win?
I mean, look at who you already have on the roster as well. I mean, Shrout's got one hell of an arm. Brian Maurer could turn out to be something. I mean, look, Tennessee wants to put themselves in the position that other schools are in, where they have too many good quarterbacks on their roster that could go start for other teams.
Who are the other quarterbacks here? We got Tua. Arkansas has the transfer from SMU.
Yep.
Auburn has
Bo Nix. They're probably going to go with Bo Nix.
That's Patrick Nix's son?
I'm pretty sure.
God, that makes me feel so old. Remember Patrick Nix Bear? And this is the quarterback on the Auburn team that was undefeated when they were on probation.
Yeah, that first guy.
Bo Nix.
I hated him.
Mr. Alabama.
Try to figure out the rest of them when we continue. Parker Pewitt is going to have our top four at four when we continue. Next on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.